Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." For a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about almost and altogether such as I am. Paul was saying, I want everybody to be a Christian like me, except for these chains. Before we get into the lesson, I want to add my welcome to everyone. It's so good to see everyone that's here. Ruby, it's good to see you with us this morning. Sophia and Precious, and I know you made us all happy. I know you made someone sitting next to you happy also. And if we can help you with anything, please, please ask. So Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doth nothing worthy of death or bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." So again, this is toward the end of the book of Acts. Paul has appealed to Caesar to escape the Jews putting him to death. There are more things involved toward the end. But we want to look at this phrase, being a Christian. People throw that word around very loosely. They use it to modify other things. A Christian is being like Christ. And people in denominations will say, "Well, I'm a Christian." Well, we're going to look at that and see what the Bible says about such. When we think about being a Christian, one of the first things I think we ought to think about is the name itself. In Acts 11, 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." This is the first record we have of the name Christian. Paul and Barnabas, present on that occasion, Luke writes, enemies did not come up with this name. The apostles did not. God prophesied this name back in Isaiah 62 and verse 2. And we looked at that last week, where this name was to be given. This name that was to be given to exalt God's people. And it was going to be for all nations, not just the Jews, the Gentiles included. And friends, one name is not as good as another. It does make a difference what name we wear. And Paul persuaded people to become Christians. He didn't persuade them to become some other religious belief. He persuaded them to become Christians. Christianity has never been a religion of force, but of persuasion. Sometimes I've seen people force someone else to obey the gospel, but they aren't converted. We have to persuade someone to become a Christian. Paul was in the persuading business, and friends, we need to be in that business also. Some people like to argue about the Bible, and they don't even read the Bible or study it. Friends, we need to read God's Word. We need to study God's Word. We need to share God's Word. And we need to persuade people to become a Christian. Not some other name, a Christian. You think about the name Christian. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you were called? What is that name by which they were called? Christian. And 1 Peter 4:16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Christian, that's the name we should wear. Not a hyphenated Christian something else, not something else. Christian. Christian brings honor to Christ. And when Paul wrote the Corinthian brethren, it bothered him that they were calling themselves after other men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, it was a problem back then. People were following after some man. People follow after men today. And you see men's names over church buildings. Friends, we are not to follow some man. We are to follow Christ. We don't have a right to wear the name unless that person was crucified for us. Jesus was crucified for us, so we can wear that name Christian. Christians have been baptized by the authority of Christ and should wear the name of Christ. It's just like, and I know our society is changing so much and not for the good. Traditionally, when a woman marries a man, she takes that man's name. She takes that man's name, showing she belongs to that man. She has left, like we talked about Wednesday night, severed that relationship with her parents, and is now joined with this man, and wears his name. Friends, we sever that relationship we have with Satan. We are joined with Christ, and we wear his name. So if we want to be a Christian like Paul, we should be a Christian like Paul in name. We should also be a Christian like Paul in fact. And what do I mean by fact? Well, there are certain facts that existed that Paul went through to become a Christian. He obeyed the same gospel as other people did. He was not saved because he saw Christ on the road. He had to obey words. Facts, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Paul did all of these in Acts 9, verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received a sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And it's interesting, too, when we looked at this last week about a vessel, Paul being a vessel, and when he was on the road to Damascus, and he was told to go to the city and you would be told words by which you must be saved. A lot of times people say, how do you know that you're saved? Well, I feel it. I feel like I'm saved. I just feel it. I know I'm saved. Well, what did you do? I just felt it. Friends, Paul was told words by which he could be saved, what he must do. Ananias said to him, why tarriest thou? Arise now and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And friends, these are facts. Facts. Romans 6:3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? As many of us as were baptized. Paul is writing this to the Romans. We need to obey the same gospel. And one of the reasons people aren't obeying the gospel today is because they are not hearing the gospel. They're hearing everything except the gospel. They're hearing about world events, about finance, about relationships. And all of those things are good to know. But friends, those things are not going to help you get to heaven. The gospel, the good news, is what's going to help us get to heaven. And there are things that we must do to obey. Paul did not become a Christian by raising his hand. He didn't become a Christian by saying the sinner's prayer or by Jesus appearing to him. You think about that. When people say an angel appeared to me or I had a dream, if that would save us, Paul would have been saved when Jesus appeared to him, but it did not save him. It did not save him. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, what's this born again mean? It's being baptized. Baptized. Romans 6:17-18. "But God be thankful that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." When we think about slaves, a lot of times that carries a negative connotation, but a slave, a servant, we understand that a slave, a servant, has a master. That slave's job is to please the master. When we lived in the world and in sin, we were pleasing to our master at that time, Satan. But when we obey from the heart, we've been delivered, we've been set free from sin, and become slaves of righteousness. We are now a servant, we are a slave, we are a servant of God, of Christ. Christ is our master. And you think, people might not like that word, but you think about our options. We can have a master that wants to destroy us, kill us spiritually, send us, doom us to hell, and we have a master that wants to set us free, deliver us from bondage, and take us up to heaven. The choice shouldn't be hard to make. Not by grace only. We aren't saved by grace only, by faith only, by prayer only, but by obedience to the gospel. And again, we've looked at where the Bible doesn't say everything you have to do in every verse, but you put them together and you get what you must do. And there are passages that say that we are to pray and to have faith, but these are not things by themselves that will save us. Did we become Christians the same way Paul did? So I need to ask myself that. Did I become a Christian like Paul did, or did I become a Christian by coming up and praying on the front row? Did I become a Christian by hearing the same facts, by obeying the same gospel? Friends, we need to be a Christian like Paul. He wanted everybody to be a Christian like him, except for his chains. We need to be a Christian like Paul, in fact. We need to be a Christian like Paul in location. What do I mean by location? Well, you think about places that Paul was and that he traveled to on his journeys. Damascus, Antioch, Salamis, Perga, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Syria, Troas, Samothrace, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Caesarea, Miletus, Tyre, Jerusalem. And this is not an all-inclusive list. We should be a Christian like Paul in location. Do you see what I mean when you look at all of these? Wherever Paul went, he was a Christian. Wherever we go, we should be a Christian. We should be a Christian. Paul was a Christian when he was at home, when he was away from home. We should be too. We should be a Christian on the job, off the job. We should be a Christian when we go on business trips, on any type of trips. Sometimes you see someone that might be have to travel a lot with their job, and they're one way when they're at home and another way when they're traveling. And then I would raise the question, when they're traveling, how can they fulfill their duties to Christ when they are traveling? Some young people, some old people go off to college. and they leave the church. They were a Christian back home, and that's with our children. When they were considering colleges to go to, that's one of the questions I would ask them. Well, where do you plan to go to church? Again, that should be God's people is what our life should revolve around. Some people, the same with the military service. They're a Christian until they join the military and they stop being a Christian on vacation. Friends, if a person is not going to be a Christian everywhere, it's doubtful that he will be a Christian anywhere. Being a Christian, it's something that we are. It's something this may not be a good example, but I am a man. I am a man 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not sometimes a man and sometimes not. I am a man. I am a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not sometimes I'm a Christian, sometimes not. Paul took his Christianity with him wherever he went. Are we a Christian like Paul anywhere and everywhere? Do we act the same way wherever we are, in the same way no matter who we are with? We should be a Christian like Paul in suffering, in trial and tribulation. In Damascus, they tried to kill him. The disciples had to let him down by the walls of the city to escape. People he knew from Jerusalem tried to kill him. They followed him on his trip, seeking to kill him. And you think about this too, just how that would work on his mind. Not only was it people that were trying to kill him, but people that knew him, people that he would have known. Because he was high up in the Jewish religion. He would have known these people, and they saw Paul as a turncoat when he gave up the Jewish religion to become a Christian. They stoned him and left him for dead at Lystra. And in Galatians chapter 6 and 17, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He could point to places on his body where he was beaten, where he was stoned. He bore the marks of Jesus in his body. He suffered. Why did he suffer? He suffered because he was a Christian. Are we willing to do that? 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, Paul was not going to stop preaching. He was not going to stop suffering because he wanted everybody to be saved. He wanted to preach to as many people as he could so that they could obey the gospel. And the suffering, that was just part of it. 2 Timothy 3:6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew when he committed to Christ that he was going to go through things that others would not. Yet he was willing to do it because of his love. 2 Corinthians 11, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. It was against the Jewish law to beat someone with stripes more than 40 times. They were so hypocritical in not wanting to break their law and giving someone 41 stripes that they would stop at 39 just in case they'd made a mistake in counting. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus ones. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, and perils of the city, perils of the wilderness, and perils of the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. When we look at this list of things, are we willing to suffer as a Christian like Paul? Are we willing to carry the cross like Paul? Do we have the same attitude that Paul had when trials and tribulations come our way? Sometimes we won't stand up for Christ because we'll say, I'm afraid somebody will laugh at me. I'm afraid somebody won't like me. I'm afraid they might not give me this raise or this promotion if I stand up for Christ. Friends, are we a Christian like Paul? Are we a Christian like Paul? That's a lot to suffer. And in a small way, I understand his deep concern for all the churches. I have not suffered anywhere close to many Christians at all, not even to consider it showing up on a chart. I do have deep concern for all Christians and for every Christian here, and pray for everybody that everybody will grow and do those things that are pleasing. Am I a Christian like Paul? Well, we should also be a Christian like Paul, not only in name and fact, in location and suffering, but in zeal. He preached in Damascus shortly after his conversion. And again, remember, he had authority, he had letters from Jerusalem to go to Damascus, and this is where he was converted. And those Christians that were in Damascus would know who Paul was and that he had authority to put Christians to death. And he preached there. He didn't say, well, this might not be a good place to start preaching. I'll go somewhere else where they don't know me. He preached shortly after his conversion. Paul was never lukewarm. He was never a coward. He was never apathetic. How about us? Paul was a man of great zeal. In Acts 9:20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Sometimes I've seen in congregations someone ask, a man asked someone to give a talk or preach a lesson, and well, I'm working on it. I need more time to study. I need to grow up. That wasn't like Paul. He was raised with the scriptures. Friends, we need to have zeal. Somebody gives us an opportunity, we need to take advantage of that opportunity. Paul was a very zealous person. He was zealous on 3 missionary journeys. He was zealous as a preacher. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. He mentioned 7 things there to Timothy for him to preach and to do. He was zealous as a writer. He wrote half of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 2:1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And I was thinking of this a couple weeks ago when David gave the talk on Wednesday evening about Moses and the excuses that Moses would make, and that Moses wasn't a good speaker, yet Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament. You'd have to argue that was the meat of the Old Testament, and Moses wrote it. And Paul said, I came not to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, but he came to declare the testimony of God. He was zealous. He was zealous. He was zealous in worship. He stayed 7 days to assemble with the saints, and Luke and his companions with him. In Acts 20:7, he stayed 7 days. He planned his trips to be with the saints. He was zealous in prayer life. You read all these letters that we're reading that Paul wrote, and the prayers that are in there, how he longed for the people. He loved the people. He would mention them by name. He was zealous in training young men. Timothy and Titus and Silas. When right after I was baptized, One of the things, and I remember a couple of things that some of the people said to me, some of the men. One of them, a man said, he just looked at me and he said, "Read your Bible." And that's some of the best advice you can give anybody. This other brother said, "So Bruce, when are you going to give your first talk?" And see, he set the expectation. I was 13 years old. I could have made all kinds of excuses. "When are you going to give your first talk?" Another brother, I was maybe a year or so older, and he said, "We're going to have a class on elders. You need to be in there." He didn't just tell me. He told the other young men too. The time you need to prepare is not later in life. It's when you're young. The more you prepare earlier in life, the more you will be effective for the Lord. But he was zealous in training young men. And sometimes I wish we had a different situation here. More students, more people. But I feel like I'm robbing the young men sometimes here doing all the preaching and the classes. We need to train. And you see how Paul had made opportunities for young men to fill and step in. All of us need to be thinking about that. Who are we training? Who are we teaching? Who are we showing how to be a Christian? How to teach others? Because you think back 10, 20 years, and a lot of the people that were here then are not. And someday I will not be here. Someday somebody else will be standing up here. We need to be zealous in training young men. Where did Paul learn to be zealous? He didn't have the New Testament to read about being zealous. So where did he get that from? It's like we keep going over and over and over back to the New Testament. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. With all these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." Friends, we need to prioritize. We need to put God first. We need to love Him with all of our heart. And then we're going to be zealous. We're going to be zealous. Because when we put God first, we aren't going to be thinking of these other things until we take care of God. But if we do not prioritize, God's going to come on the bottom of the list by default. "Oh, I want to do this, and I'll do this after I do that." Friends, are we zealous like Paul? Are we on fire for the Lord? When you prioritize, all the important stuff gets done. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night," that repetitive action, "that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So we need to be a Christian like Paul in being zealous. And we need to be a Christian like Paul, a Christian till the end. Sometimes you see people start and then they give up. Satan wins the battle. They go back into the world. We don't want to be a Christian like John Mark, who turned back on a trip. Later, John Mark was useful for Paul. Don't want to be a Christian like Demas. Demas, Paul wrote, has forsaken me. Having loved this present world, he went back into the world. We need to begin well, continue well, and end well. 2 Timothy 4:5, "But you be faithful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." He fought a good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. He appealed to the three nations of that time. Friend, are we a Christian like Paul till the end? Some people think that since they've been baptized and since they go to a building every Sunday that has Church of Christ over the door, they think that they're going to heaven. Friends, they don't understand what the race is all about. Baptism is our entrance. It's our entrance ticket to run the race. And then we got to keep running till the end. We can sit down, but we're going to lose the race. We can't be spectators just watching everybody else. We don't retire from the Lord's work. Friends, Paul didn't. Friends, we need to be a Christian like Paul. I would to God that not only you, but all who hear me today might become almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to render obedience to the gospel invitation, or you need prayers for your life, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.